friends. My name is Kaeo, and we're going to be hanging out a little bit more in Daniel. That was such a great episode video of what we'll be talking about tonight. We get to finally talk about Daniel in the fiery furnace, and there were some really sweet times in this video that I hope we can just kind of match here in Scripture, which is hopefully encouraging as well. This morning, we kind of walked through what it means to fear God instead of fearing man. What does it mean to be resolved in God's word? And this evening, we're going to look at what it means to be resilient through trials, okay? Trusting God despite our circumstances. And so in order to do that, we kind of have to have this like perspective on what trials and suffering is. And so before we get started, I love that we got our pens out and our papers out and our Bibles out, but what we're going to do is we're going to pray real fast. Cool? All right, bow your heads. Whoop. Close your eyes. And let's pray. Jesus, we love you. And God, pray for me and my friends as we get ready just to dive into your word. Let us focus our attention on you. We're so grateful for your word and what you have for us, God. Thank you so much for today and the fun that we've had. And right now, Lord, I pray that me and my friends, we would not let our distractions get in the way of what you have for us tonight. May we not lose our awe of you. We love you, pressing your sons, and we said, amen. Okay, so kind of like what you saw, kind of where we'll be. We're going to be in Daniel chapter, well, I'm going to be summarizing actually a little bit. So walk with me for a little bit before we get there. But we're going to be in Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. So if you want to turn there and kind of skim with me as I walk through some of this stuff, it will be a good time. So Daniel, because of his faithfulness, has been now elevated into a position of authority. All right, with the king's staff, and while being obedient to the Lord's commands to continue to abide by the word of the Lord in his life. So that's really cool. Daniel was elevated into authority for King Nebuchadnezzar, but also did not compromise his faith in the Lord, all right? So Daniel chapter 2, all right, that's where we're going to be, Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. And before we get there, have you guys ever had like a recurring dream? Yeah. All right. Blink twice if that's you. All right. It's like about 50% of the room. Mine tends to be falling. I don't know what it is. For me, it's falling. My wife, I asked her this question too. She's not here today. She goes tomorrow. But she says hers is always running. She's always running from something. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want falling or running. Which one, you know? But falling is wild because I'll fall and then it's like, I land on a stage and I try to talk and like nothing comes out. And then the audience like riots, all right? So that's my recurring dream. I don't know about you, but this is kind of where we find King Nebuchadnezzar. So he is in a very similar place trying to figure out what in the world is he dreaming and what could it mean. So let's read it. Daniel chapter 2, we're going to be in verse 1. It says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to the king to tell him of his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king in verse 3, and the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. So he is sleepless nights. All right, it's reoccurring, and he wants to know what's happening and why, and he brings like in his mind the wisest people to his palace, to his presence, and asks the question. He doesn't trust what anyone else would say. He asks them. He asks all the wise men and magicians together, and not only do they have to interpret the dream, they have to supernaturally know the dream was without him telling. You kind of saw that in the video. Like, they were like, you're going to die. And we're like, why? But like, why? And then it's like, you need to tell me what I saw and what it meant. And you're like, how? Right? And so then King Nebuchadnezzar starts getting very angry because no one can tell him his dream or interpret it. And then realizing that nobody can do this, as punishment, he sends a decree to have all the wise men in the land, all the wise men in the land killed. So this would also include Daniel. Right? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We're going to go by their actual names, not with the names King Nebuchadnezzar gave them. All right? So I want you to look at now, we're going to skim down, or skip down, sorry, chapter 2, verse 17. Okay? Go a little bit down. All right, we're going to be in verse 17. You there? Oh, I'm not. What? 17, here we go. So then Daniel, that's where it starts, right? So then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. So he's essentially letting them know what is happening. We're all going to die. And verse 18, and he told them to seek mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Okay, so like really quickly, we have to stop. Daniel just realized that they're going to die. And then he tells his buddies, hey, we're all going to die. Because King Nebuchadnezzar is upset, can't interpret his dreams. We're all going to die. And I want you to see what he has them do. Verse 18, he tells them to what? Run away? Tells them to grab their swords and go to war? Tells them to what? To pray, to seek mercy, to pray, seek mercy from God of heaven. Daniel, in the middle of a literal life or death situation in his life, immediately goes to the Lord in prayer. So not only does this give insight for like for Daniel's life and how he like views the Lord and his relationship with the Lord, but that also tells us, okay, hey, where we're in those moments, maybe we might want to try that. So like, here's why. Here's your rhetorical question, okay? Your rhetorical question. Where do you turn when you are fearful, when you're going through it, when you're having a really tough time? Rhetorical. What do you turn to? Because where you turn to in those moments is a great indicator of who the Lord of your life really is. How we respond to those moments is a temperature gauge to see what idols we have in our lives. When you're going through those really tough times, are you just like, you know what? I might go on my iPad or go on YouTube and just go on like a rabbit trail and kind of numb out. Maybe I'll watch TV or play video games and numb out. Maybe I try harder in my sport to prove that I'm in control. That's kind of where King Nebuchadnezzar is. He's grasping for control for someone to answer his dreams. Whereas Daniel, in crying out to God, demonstrates that he is fully dependent on the Lord to move. He doesn't try to devise his own plan or go it alone or try to problem solve it himself or even run away. He goes straight to the Lord first and foremost. So if you're taking notes, when I'm going through it, I should run to the Lord first. That's like your thing, okay? When I'm going through it, because that's what we say in this day and age, I'm going to run to the Lord first. And look, I'm not going to dismiss the fact that Daniel's friends probably were really scared. I would be. Confession, they're humans, I'm humans. I'm a human, not more than one, I'm a human. I would be really scared. But Daniel's relationship with the Lord is marked one of courage. And we'll see how his friends model that very same dependence on the Lord, too. So I want us to understand what it means to truly be dependent, resilient, and courageous. It's not doing what is right and honorable for the Lord in the absence of fear. So it doesn't mean to listen and obey God in the absence of fear. A lot of times we think it's black or white, all right? I'm either fearful and don't do anything, or I'm brave and then I can go do it, right? And what I really want you to understand this whole thing is what Daniel does is he goes to the Lord in faithful obedience and dependence in prayer in the middle of his fear. Has he been delivered yet? No. Okay? In the middle of his fear, that's where he goes to the Lord. Now, let's look at how God responds, because I think it's important. Not just look at how we respond, but look at how God responds. All right, so we're going to be in verse 19. You there? Okay. So it says, then, everyone say then. The mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Did God listen? Yes. God did listen. All right. The Lord reveals to Daniel every part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, as well as the entire meaning of it. Now, what we see next is very important. So, if you're taking notes, put chapter 2, verse 23, very important, very important, very important, all right? So Daniel, now if I was Daniel, as soon as I got the news that would save my life, where would I run to? King Nebuchadnezzar. Yo, bro, this is what God said it is, and here's what it means. Save us, right? Or like, can I make a deal? You start saying my right name, and then save us too, and here's what the dreams mean. But this is what Daniel does. And I'm like, mad respect. I really am really encouraged. And I'm like, I should do that too. Ready? Verse 23. He goes on and says, to you, okay, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. The Lord was everything to Daniel, and nothing was going to get in the way of what Daniel knew to be the truth. That despite everything going on around him in the chaos, what does he proclaim has all the power over it and the wisdom to get through it? God. Verse 21, it says, for the wisdom and power belong to the Lord. Daniel receives and then give praise. Now, really quickly, I don't know about you. I'll talk about myself. Confession, there are days when I've prayed kind of on my knee prayers, like, Lord, yo, save me, okay? And then miraculously, the thing that I was worried about or whatever gets provided or whatever. And then the audacity that I have, I walk away being like, yeah, we did it. And then I move on. Not once I'm like, Lord, thank you. I don't even take a moment to say thank you, God. Usually it's like, yeah, praise God. And then we keep going because the stress is gone and I can feel like I can go on with my life. Not once do I take a moment in authentic worship and praise to thank God for what he's provided for me, what he's done, how he listened, all those things. And that's what Daniel does. Think about it. When do we run to God in prayer? When we need something. And then when we get it, do we say thank you, God, or we just move on? Cool. Move on, right? We do it all the time. And Daniel shows us the right way. And not even the right way as like there's a wrong way, but almost like the healthiest way to respond to when God gives you something that we probably don't even deserve in gratitude, okay? So then, he goes on. Daniel goes on and explains to Nebuchadnezzar what the dream meant, which essentially kind of what we're hearing in the video, was that, hey, look, your kingdom, it's going away, all right? Someone else is going to come take over it. That's essentially what it is. It's a really long part, but if you sum it up, all this stuff, gone. I don't know about you. I do not want to stand before the king who's just about to kill me to say, hey, your kingdom and all your power and all your stuff is going to go away. Someone's going to take over. Would you want to do that? No. No. Okay, no. Some of you are like, absolutely, I would. Me? No. Just like I said today, okay, he worries a lot about himself sometimes, all right, especially about living. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't be thrilled. Wouldn't want to go tell the king everything he has built will eventually be no more. All right? So then he goes and he says it to Nebuchadnezzar. And look what he says in verse 47 of chapter 2, how Nebuchadnezzar responds. I think it's wild. All right, verse 47. You there? Okay, cool. Well, yeah, we did skip a little bit. I kind of summarized it for you. Verse 47, chapter 2, verse 47. It says, the king said, right, or answered and said to Daniel, truly your God is God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. So he calls Daniel's God the God, which is the God of the Israelites. He says, yeah, Yahweh, the God of gods, the Lord of kings. As a result, this miracle has happened in my life. He praises who? God. Right? Come on now. Let's go. Let's go, Nebuchadnezzar. This is incredible. Because the guy who didn't want anything to do with God is beginning to praise him. Isn't that awesome? It is so, so good. But we have to see what happens next. Chapter 3, verse 1. All right? Literally 4 verses later, all right, in chapter 3, verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar makes an image of gold. Come on, right? The height of which was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. What happened? Right? He forgot. He forgot. We are forgetful people. We are How many times your parents told you to go take out the trash and you were like, what? 2 minutes later? Yeah, we're confessing in this room. Absolutely. 2 minutes later, your mom's like, hey, did you get a trash? She's like, oh, I forgot. And you're like, what? Or like, mom, I didn't hear you say that. What? You know what I mean? Or how many times do you say what? You're like, your parents are like, da, 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 da. What? Blah, 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 blah. What? Blah, 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 blah. What? You know what I mean? This happens. Who forgets to do their homework? All the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's the thing.
I just don't know how much it is we forget or we just choose to not do.
Okay. All right. We're forgetful people. Say amen. Amen. Okay, so what just happened? 4 verses prior, King Nebuchadnezzar prays that the Lord was the one true God. And then here we see he's building an altar and he's asking everyone to come and worship it. Okay, this is how you know, really quickly, this is why it's so important. While God cares about our outward expressions, he deeply, 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 deeply cares about our heart. It's not just if we look good, right? Just because you're a perfect Christian doesn't mean you're perfect, okay? God cares about your heart. He wants you at a heart level, heart transformation. We don't clean up ourselves up before we come to the Lord, all right? So, like, what are we on, what day? We're on our first full day of camp. Ideally, you have showered at some point, okay? All right? But if you didn't, just keep that to yourself. Just keep it to yourself, okay? So let's just say you're like, all right, everyone knows what a shower is, okay? Now, here's the thing, though. Do you take a pre-shower before you shower? No. Some of you are like, yes, and I don't understand how that works. It's you just get in the shower, and you submit to the shower, and the shower cleans you. Okay? That's just what happens. You don't take a pre-soak, pre-shower, and then you shower. You just go into the shower, and then you're clean. That is what it is. But yet, that is what we do with our relationship with the Lord. We feel like we gotta clean ourselves up before we can even approach God. Sometimes we don't even pray because we feel like I need to say it perfectly. And when I say it perfectly, then God will listen. If I'm a better person, then I deserve God's grace. We spend most of our time trying to be what we think God wants us to be in order to receive the stuff that God has already given us when all God wanted was just you. Was just you. Here's another way to look at it. If God, who said you, humanity, you and me, were so worth it that he sent his son to die on the cross for us, but it was pending that you would be better, that would mean Jesus would still be waiting to die because some of you weren't even born when Jesus was alive. Good. All of you are now listening. Good. Good job. All of you were not alive when Jesus died. Okay? Do you see what I'm saying? So if that's what we're waiting on for you to get better, then that would be the point. But did Jesus wait on you? Did he wait on you? No. He didn't. That's why we celebrate Easter. Okay? He didn't. All right? So in the same way, right, with the whole shower thing and God just really wanting us, it's really important for us to fully submit to him and embrace him as the Lord of our lives and not recognizing that we need to get our act together before we can even talk to the Lord or have a relationship with him. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar was missing. If you're looking at this, you're like, what and what happened with Nebuchadnezzar? That's what happened. He said praises with his mouth that he loved the Lord, but did not believe it. How many things that you know about God, but you don't believe it? How many things you say you know about him, like some stat that you've read in the Bible about God, but you don't believe it? There's a difference between knowing and believing, and Nebuchadnezzar showed you the difference. On one day, he said praises to the king, and on the next, he decided not to live out what the king said. Let's keep reading. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 30 is a lot. And the whole point, we're going to pick up in verse 4, all right? So, it says, then, everyone say then. Then, all right, the herald loudly proclaimed, to you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. And at that moment, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon. What is this word? Anyone know it? Cymbal, bagpipe, and all the kinds of music. You're to fall down and worship the God image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the what? Fire. The blazing fire, the fiery furnace, a.k.a. not good. Yeah, that one was really funny, oven slash stove, all right? Again, we see Daniel's friends in yet another moment of persecution and hardship where their walk with God and culture collides. Again, listen, if I was Daniel, I'd be like, again? Can I not be, am I not your faithful servant? Do I have to do this again? All right? And so the music plays, all this stuff, we kind of see it, and Daniel does not bow. They don't. Daniel's buddies, they don't bow. They don't bow at all. Neb gets so upset, in his anger, he orders them to be thrown to the furnace, and he turns up the heat of the furnace 7 times. It's so hot that the men who threw Daniel and his buddies into the furnace also burned up. Okay? That's how mad Nebuchadnezzar is. So verse 24, right? Chapter 3, verse 24. Are you there? I gotta turn the page. Verse 24, here we go. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astounded, and he stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, was it not 3 men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, O king. And he said, look, I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the 4th is like the son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the door of the furnace of the blazing fire. He responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, your servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. In that moment, who is with him? Jesus. Right? Now, really quickly, we kind of see the ending here. That's the ending. But we have to go back a little bit. Because remember how this morning I talked about resolve? Okay? We have to look at chapter 3, verse 16. Can you look at verse 16 with me? So just scoot up a little bit. Okay? All right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Verse 18, super important. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Wow. They decided ahead of time that it didn't matter. Listen, I don't know about you, in our lives, there's a lot of times when I'm like, what if? What if I don't get this? What if this happens? What if that happens, right? Maybe for some of you, it's like, what if I don't make this team? What if that person doesn't like me? What if they don't want to be my friend, right? Or what happens if I don't pass this test or whatever? There's a lot of what ifs in our lives. But I wonder if you would change your perspective to the things that are going on in your life and you would change the what ifs to even ifs. Because that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. That's what Daniel and his buddies did. What if we get burned? They didn't say that. They said, even if we get burned, we will not bow down to your idols. Even if I don't pass that test, God is still with me. Even if that friend doesn't like me, God still loves me. Even if, what happens if you change your what ifs to even ifs? Yes. But ultimately, right, what if keeps us stuck in what? Fear. Even if is I'm going to walk in faith. Okay? It's really important. Now, in the middle of this sermon, if this was like televised, there would be a little banner that would go across. Go beep, 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 disclaimer, 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 disclaimer. It's really important that I talk about this. Because if you're like some of my students, they'd be like, all right, so Kaeo, if I just jump into an oven, God's going to save me. And you're like, what? No, right? So this is historical narrative, which means it's descriptive. It's telling you what happened in history, all right? It's not prescriptive, which is do these exact things and the exact outcome will happen, all right? It's very important. All right, so you guys are my descriptive side and you guys are my prescriptive side. Okay, so say descriptive.
Descriptive.
Say prescriptive.
Prescriptive.
I know it's tough. Prescriptive, okay? All right, so is this book, is Daniel, is it descriptive or prescriptive?
Descriptive.
Descriptive. So when I point at you, you're going to say it, all right? The book of Daniel is?
Descriptive.
Not?
Prescriptive.
The book of Daniel is not?
Prescriptive.
It is?
Descriptive.
Okay, because there have been many times I have stood in front of a lake, been like, the fastest way is through, and I've been like, Lord, split the sea, and it didn't happen. I even grabbed a stick and was like, let's go, Lord, split the sea so I can walk through it on dry land, and it didn't happen, all right? But if we love to read ourselves in the Bible, this is not one of those moments where we're like, all right, if this is a big thing, I'm going to be like, all right, Lord, throw me in the furnace, okay? That's not how it works. But what it does, because it's not prescriptive, but it is descriptive, it describes the character of God. And God's character never changes. So, are you taking notes? God's character never changes. If you're taking notes, God's character never changes. All right? It never does. In this moment, we see God and his character, that when his people are going through it, whether it be a fiery furnace, tough family situation, friends not being cool with you and bullying you a little bit, right? Or you feel like you're not like belonging, or you insert your thing here. If God's character never changed and we saw throughout this time that God is with his people, then you can bet that no matter what you're walking through, God is always with you. Always with us, always with me. So your next line is, God is always with me. God is always with me. And then at the end of this, right, so picking that back up, at the end of this, right, Nebuchadnezzar praises God again. But we have to recognize, okay, that, okay, Daniel, like I kind of hinted a little bit earlier, if I was Daniel, I would have been really, really just tired of all the hard stuff. You ever go through hard things before? Blink twice if you've gone through hard things before. Some of you blinked more than twice, and some of you were like this. As if like to like say, please, yes, thank you for seeing me. Absolutely, hard things are real. And they are they not? Those are real things. The hard things you experience, here's the thing, they are hard. Don't let any adult or any person older than you say, wait till you get older and you'll realize how much harder it is. The things you're experiencing right now is just as hard. Yes? Yes. Okay? It's just as hard. And I wish I could tell you it gets easier, but it doesn't. Because that's even what God says. Does God say, like, hey, once you're, like, part of my family, all your problems go away? No, he doesn't.
He says they'll get harder.
if anything, he says they'll get harder. Right? John, I think it's John 16:33, right? I think it's John 16:33. I'm going off the top of my head. We're going a little rogue here. Woo! Where are my notes? John 16:33. Let me turn there. And because I just want to make sure I actually quote the Bible correctly, because that is my job. John 16:33. It says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, trouble, hard times. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus, literally out of Jesus' mouth, he tells his disciples, you're going to have what, easy times? No, hard times. You're going to have hard times. He says, take heart, right? So when you're experiencing really tough times, should you be surprised? No, no. It might catch you off a little guard, but like, no, right? Because we're going to get them. It's like if it rains randomly. You're like, oh, wow, you know, it rained. Caught me off guard a little bit, but I expected it. Living on planet Earth, it does rain at some point, right? Okay, living on planet Earth, there are going to be hard times. You'll be like, oh, caught me off guard a little bit. Oh, but hey, I knew that would happen. And I know what I'm supposed to do because I have resolved that my foundation is in who? God, not me. Yeah, or the world, right? So first and foremost, trials, hard stuff, going through it, it's going to happen, all right? It's going to happen. That's part of it. But what I want you to see is what does God promise he will do when we're in those tough times? He will comfort us. He will be, starts with W, ends in ith, with us time and time again. God says that he will be with his people. Rarely, if not misquoted, does God ever say, I'm just going to go like this. Goodbye, hard stuff. We would love that because that'd be really easy, right? And when God says he delivers us, he's talking about delivering us from here and getting us to heaven. So he's not really talking about in our current situations, poof, the hard stuff is gone. Like, listen, if that were true, every test you have, you'd be like, Lord, rescue me. Final test, gone. No. Does that happen, though? Does that happen? No. It doesn't. If you say sometimes, that's the Holy Spirit working on your teacher, not in your situation, all right? Okay? No. But what he does promise is that he will be what? With you. Write this down. Psalm chapter 34, verse 17 and 18. Write down Psalm chapter 34, verse 17 and 18. This is what I'm going to leave you with. I heard you. Psalm, P-S-A-L-M, chapter 34, verses 17 and 18. I'm going to say it one more time for the people in the back. Psalm, chapter 34, verses 17 and 18. Thank you so much. Here's the reason why I wanted you to write this down. Okay? I'm going to be really real to you. Okay, remember how I talked about I moved from Hawaii to Oklahoma? Remember how I told you about how my name was really tough? Remember how I told you how it just wasn't really fun? Felt like I didn't belong, right? So now I'm going to give you the verses that I would say I wrote down in my bathroom mirror from the ages of 14 until I turned 25. Okay? We're about my age another day. Pray to the Lord, maybe give you answers. Psalm 34, verse 17, 18. I'm going to read it to you. So right now I want you to go ahead and look left. Look right, look up, look at me. Psalm 34, 17, 18 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I would love for you to write that down when you walk through really tough times. And from cover to cover, is God saying you are currently in the middle of the toughest time of your life. And I'm going to spend cover to cover of this Bible demonstrating over time that I've been a God that pursues my people, that never leaves them alone, that walks with them, and that provides for them. And one day I will come back and restore what it should have been from the beginning of time. God always has a plan. And when we are resolved in the scriptures, then we know beforehand, right? That when we are facing tough times, we will not rise to the occasion, but we will fall to our training. And our training reminds us that God is always with us. It doesn't matter what it is. So that's my encouragement for all of you. Get to know this God who says that he will be with you. And start believing it, because it's one thing to know it, and it's another to believe it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's buddies, did they just know that God is with them, or did they believe it? They believed it. There are so many things in our lives that we say we believe, but if I looked at your life, I would probably be able to be like, I'm not so sure you believe. If you believe that God already loves you, why are you still looking for love somewhere else? Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. God, thank you for reminding us that you are always with us. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, even when it's tough to believe it. That thing doesn't, our belief in that doesn't change the fact of who you are. From the time that the time began, you have demonstrated to us that you are always with us. So God, I pray for me and my friends as we head into tonight, to the rest of what the night has for us, we would remember that very big truth, that God, you are always with us. Praise in your son's name, we said.